The ultimate weapon of war. The ultimate weapon of war has been in existence before time began. The ultimate weapon of war has nothing to do with anything man-made. Man can make nothing that can destroy God's creation. Now, man can blow something up and rearrange the molecules. But guess what? God didn't even have the molecules to begin with. So he put back together and put back together time and time again. I always enjoy when I'm reading the Old Testament prophets when they are talking about in ancient times. And I'm thinking, whoo! You know, I'm back, 6,000-7,000 years here, and they're talking about ancient times. That's older than me. That's older than life. That's older than anything we know that exists. Yet it existed prior to the ancient times. And God says there's one reason for all of this. It's my son. Now you think of that. Now, I know that most of us don't really consider ourselves, you know, some kind of a outstanding gift for our wife or our husband. Well, some of you women think. But I'm such an outstanding husband. My wife is so blessed to have me. I think I just said that a while ago, didn't I, Brother Randy? Foolishly said that. Well, have you ever thought that God thinks that you, each one of us, so special that he's going to let his son die for us, giving us the ultimate gift? That's how special you are to God. And God says to you, and he says to me, don't sweat it. You're never going to die. Come on, Christians. Get with me on this. I will separate from this body because God does not want me to suffer past a certain point. But I'm not going anywhere other than where you're going as a Christian. I'll see you in a minute, in a twinkling of an eye. And God says, that's how much I care. And I'm going to tell you what you're going to need to make everything right for your stay on earth. The ultimate weapon. The ultimate weapon that's going to be so powerful, no human being, no demon, no anything else that exists that you and I don't even know exists, can overshadow it or overpower it. So God says to us, I've sent my son. Now, God is not going to send his son on a mission that's not going to work. When God looks and there's a mission, then that mission is going to be fulfilled. Jesus came to save whosoever will. I am a whosoever will. When you have said yes to Jesus, you are a whosoever will. So as a whosoever will, God willed that I could find peace. But in finding that peace, folks, you're going to go through the war of a living hell. You are going to witness all manner of evil around you. You will witness it in you. Do you ever question yourself as why you do something dumb? I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. Then everybody around me said, I can't believe it either. That's why we don't take you out in public that often. But God said, you know, I'm so proud of you. I'm going to give you the ultimate weapon. You know a name for Jesus' word? Did you know that Jesus has a name and his name is the Word? That's always referred to as who Christ is, the Word. And God said, I love you so much, I'm going to send my Word to you. Well, you and I think of that as somebody going to talk to us. Yep. The Word came in person. He, God incarnate. He didn't just send the Word. He is the Word, and He came down to show us that His Word is our life. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got my word on it, God says. I suggest you take His word. Everybody else, I don't pay much attention to it. But you take God's word. How do I know that as a Christian? See, I can't explain that, can you? I know I'm saved. I know that when I'm preaching His word, that every bit of it is true, 100% fact. I know that. And I can't explain how I know it. How do you know you're saved? Because Jesus said I was. When did He say that? He said, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Man, have I ever called on the name of the Lord? Continually. Recognizing Him as Lord. He said, so my word happens to be the ultimate weapon of war. Why do people lose wars? They forget God's word. Why do nations crumble under their enemy? Because they do not have the ultimate weapon of war going before them. The Ark of the Covenant, the Word of God. There's no change. When God's word is held in honor, you cannot lose. Not only can you not lose a war, you can't lose the battle. It's the war. The war of evil. And that war of evil is living hell, isn't it? For it's not only out there, it's in here. It's in our thoughts. It's in our actions. It's in our tongue. Oh man, that tongue can get so wicked. I love you, you wench. Think of that. Oh, the scripture has so much to say about one moment you praise God and with the tongue, and then the next moment you're cursing His creation with the same tongue. Something wrong with that. Who's authorized to use the ultimate weapon? Who is authorized to use the ultimate weapon? Only those individuals who are wearing the ultimate helmet. God said you got to put your helmet on. And nobody had to tell me that in Vietnam or the Dominican Republic. Only time I would get in trouble was before you got in combat. I never forgot my helmet. I would have wore 3 or 4 or 5 if I could have had them. But it's only made out of metal. And the meal you cook in that metal pot doesn't taste very good. But the Lord said, I'm going to give you the ultimate helmet. The helmet of salvation. Without the helmet of salvation, you can never ever use the ultimate power of Almighty God. Without being saved, you will not know the Word of God. Do you hear me? Memorizing what is in a book is a lot different than understanding and having in your spirit the Word of Almighty God from that book. Read it with your mind, you'll forget it. Read it with the power of the Holy Spirit, it becomes a part of who you are. And God says to us, when you're covered by that ultimate helmet, listen to this, Ephesians 6, 17 and 18. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I cannot take the sword without the helmet. I have to be saved first. The Bible is not a book of magic. The Bible is the Word of God and must be discerned as the Word of God, by God, through His Son, the Word that indwells us. And He said, I want you to be authorized to use my word. Do you ever hear people just quote scripture and you know good and well it doesn't mean what they say it means? Well, what about the world that doesn't know that? People say, well, you take the Bible out there and you'll show them where this is. They don't know anything about the Bible. What good is it going to do you to carry that Bible out there and say, you see what the Word of God says? Because they're going to tell you man wrote that. And you're going to get in all of that mess. Once they're under conviction by the Word that wants to indwell them, and that same Word that is within you and gives you direction, once they say yes, then and only then do they have hope of the power of the ultimate weapon of war, God's holy word. And God said, I'm going to look at you and I want you to know that I want to give you my word. There's an ultimate awesome power in that ultimate weapon. And listen to the power of God's word. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living. The Word of God is living. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. It's just not dead words in a book. It's the Word of Almighty God who conquered death, accepts the power. And you know, the Word of God accepts responsibility for you and me. It's called grace upon grace. You know, I got so much upon grace stuff throughout my life. I think, grace upon grace, what does that mean? The older you get, the more I know what it means. And I like it. As God continues to speak to our heart, and He says, the Word of God is living and active. Gosh, you reckon that means that I can't get glued to the pew? They've got to move and be active and take the Word and do something with it? If I don't do something with God's Word, then how can I show you or anybody else that I believe that God's Word is alive? Is God's Word alive in you or not? If God's Word is alive in us, then we will become active. He animates us. Randy, get up and do something. Randy, get up and sing a song. Lord, do I have to? I've fought you all these years, but okay, yes, I will. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. What a weapon. Everybody's wanting to know, okay, what are we going to do about inner city crime? What are we going to do about the opiate situation? There's just no answers. Yes, there is. There always has been. The answer just happens to be still the same. The ultimate weapon of war. And drugs are war. What's going on in our nation is war. The sex perversion is war. Crimes against children. War. And God says, I'll give you the answer. You know, right there it is, Hebrews 4:12. living, active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It'll penetrate even to dividing the soul and the spirit of the human condition and giving you and showing you the Spirit of God, that type of dividing, joints and marrow. Do we not pray for one another when parts of us are broken? Do we not use the Word of God in prayer to put back together the joints and the marrow? Is it not us that cries out, Lord, don't let them take everything. Leave something inside of me that's real, please. It judges, here's the power of it. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Why do you think the world is afraid of the Word? The Word judges because the Word is truth. The Word is Jesus. He sees the inner working. What if the pharmaceutical manufacturers, what if they really will put out the cure for disease instead of focusing on the wealth that they can have by just selling you the opioids to kill the pain and still have the disease, killing your mind, killing your spirit, a slow drag downhill. So what happens? They stay away from the Word. It'll convict you. Why do people say, oh, I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to hear a prayer. Well, if prayer is prayed to a God that doesn't exist, and everything about Christianity is so phony, why are so many people afraid of it? Why are so many people trying to stop it? If it has no authority, why are so many then saying, we don't want to hear it? They close their ears. Oh, Brother Randy, I think I can remember Scripture talking about that. Closing their ears to keep from hearing. Remember Stephen's situation? First martyr. He's praising God. It's amazing to me they could even throw the stones at him to kill him because the Scripture says it's covering their ears. They couldn't handle the truth. Too much power. Especially from a man that sees Jesus standing on his behalf. So said, you want the cure, here's the cure. Maybe we just want to dull the pain. So therefore, instead of taking the cure, which is the Word of God, again, there's not a combat veteran that I know that ever denied that God exists in combat. There may have been one, I don't know, I never heard him. I'm too busy crying. Too busy dodging, too busy praying. You can do all that at the same time when the going gets that very rough. And it doesn't take much for the going to get rough with an 18 or 19-year-old. I want to go back home to the gravy and biscuits. But the Lord says, I'm going to be with you. Larry, I'm going to walk with you. My word will be with you even through your cases of the stupids as you grow. I'll be there. It's important to have one another there. Do you hear me? How many times have you seen how important it is just to be with a friend? You don't have to say a word during that period. Just be there. It's important. It's always been important to me, and you all hear me say it all the time. No man, no woman should die alone. Somebody ought to be there. Somebody ought to be there. That's what we do with each other. We be there. I read the Word. That's what Jesus does for me. I'm right here, Larry. I'm right here. Lord, it's getting a little rough. I'm right here, Larry. Do you know how important that is? I held your husband's head in my arms as he went over into glory. I wiped the sweat from his face because no one should die alone. You take the hurt with it. Your wife, as she crossed into glory, loved her like a sister. Cocky, smart aleck. She goes into glory. She went to glory knowing that she was loved. Somebody was there. Whether they know they're there or not, somebody was there. Jesus knows. Do you know how important it is for family to be there? Family doesn't have to be biological. A lot of times it isn't. It's good when it is, but a lot of times it isn't. Family are individuals who know when they're together, there's love. And somebody's going to hold my head as I cross over. Somebody will be there and hang on. That's family. That's love. But folks, let me tell you, that's power. Satan scared to death God's word. No wonder his followers are so frightened to hear it. No wonder they want the Pledge of Allegiance gone. My goodness, they want God's name stricken from everything. I notice they still spend that money, though, that has "In God We Trust" on it. If I was so stern with and I say, you know, this is really what I believe, then I ain't going to spend it. Huh. God says, I'm giving you the ultimate weapon. You want peace in your country? You keep my word. He knows we're going to mess up. He knows that nobody's perfect. I don't have to tell God I'm not perfect. Like that's a surprise to him. He knows I'm a mess. And he knows that I'm his mess. The ultimate destruction by the ultimate weapon. This is what is happening today. And this is your end time study. I want you to listen to this. For it is not the armies of man that get together in the last battles, whether it be of Armageddon or Gog and Magog of Scripture. It's not those mighty armies. They don't even fight. They just die. They don't even fight. God's children do not go to battle and fight for God. They watch God's word destroy our enemy. Evil. Revelation 19 verses 15 and 16. Listen to it, veteran. Listen to it well, America, for here is your hope. Out of his mouth, it's a Jesus coming. Now you got me? It's a Jesus coming. Out of his mouth, what's coming out of his mouth? His word. Shouting loud and clear. You hear his word then. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. Plural. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The ultimate weapon is the power of ultimate destruction. There are no molecules to put back together. Purely spirit. God is spirit. He must be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Truth is another name for Jesus. Truth relates back to his word. The ultimate power, the ultimate weapon is already here. Do you think God was going to create what you know of existence without making certain he knows the ending of the story? Do you think God's going to make a mistake by letting you be born? You're not a mistake, folks. God doesn't make mistakes. I don't care what your wife says. You're not a mistake. The Lord looks at us and he says, you're my family. And I'm going to be there to hold your head. Larry Pete better be there if he can. But if it comes down to it and nobody can get to me, I want you all to know something. I will be held. I get to cross over with excitement. I can't die. So I certainly appreciate the Word of God and His love. I share with those that I know have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Not only can I not die, you cannot die either. The Word of God tells us, I have sent my Son. For God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever calls on Me, whosoever shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I got the everlasting life. Those without Jesus have the everlasting death. Then I'll be dead. No. The Scripture says, you will be eternally dying, but being unable to die. They will call for the rocks and the mountains to cover them, but they will not. They will want to die, but death will not come. I don't want to live eternally dying. I read the book, and I like that other opportunity that I have, folks. You need to understand that. I love that other opportunity I have, Larry. You accept me, accept my love, hold on to my word, believe me, I got you. Well, I believe him and he's got me. I hope and pray he has you. If he doesn't, it's not his fault. It's yours. All he can do is give. He did that first Christmas. All we need to do is open the gift. It don't get better than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy, for the blessings, the joy of salvation. Touch each of us now, Father, as we lift our heart to you in praise, thanking you for your word, for your truth, for your will. Thank you for our freedom, Father. And oh, how I praise your name for our veterans. For all those that are out there on the lines today, Father, please protect them as they protect us.